And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Happy Tuesday. We are doing a doubleheader today. This episode is Trigger South. They are a local band to where we are. They just released their debut EP last week. It is absolutely incredible. It is called Game On. These guys are the best, man. They're fun. They're energetic. They're older than me. And I say that because we bust each other's balls about it in this conversation. Yeah, excuse the way I sound. My allergies are freaking killing me. I have felt like absolute dog shit the last couple of days. So that's it, man. It's Trigger South. They've been super supportive of us. We love them. Unfortunately, we haven't seen enough of them live. Got to see them a few years ago, and like it just, we talk about it in like in the episode where it's like our schedules just suck, honestly. So a big thank you to these guys for coming on. We don't have a lot of local, you know, these guys are a bar band that is, you know, trying to do more than just that, if that makes sense. We don't do a lot of these. We don't do a lot of local bar bands. Actually, we don't ever have ever done a local bar band or a bar band, period. So this was a great time. And, you know, these guys are just great dudes all around. And you find out some really cool things. And, yeah, it was just a great time. Like, that's all I can say about this episode. It was a great freaking time. So if it's your first time here, welcome. This the way we do this podcast is just a shit show. It's a free-for-all. We have a great time. Go check us out on our all socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, the whole nine, all under Boots and Whiskey Podcast. We have bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com, which is our website. You can find all the shit there too. So kick back, relax, enjoy the conversation, and we will see you on the flip side before we say adieu. And without further ado, oh boy, it's late or early or whatever time you're listening to this. Without further ado, our friends over in Trigger South, enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Hello, gentlemen.
I put him on her bed. She can sleep on it.
Hello, hello.
I might be.
Well, why even have a bed? Just have her sleep on the amps.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, hey, Jim, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you good, man. Yeah, I can hear you good,
man. Sounds all right. Sounds good?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Do you want to move a little closer?
Yeah. You guys want to move? I mean, I can only move this. You can throw it on the three if you want. Throw it on the drum or whatever.
No, I'll move the amp. This.
Just one second. Sorry.
Yeah, we're no
just
problem.
Making sure we get one mic around all of us.
I need to. I'll be right back.
The irony is, I'm sitting on a bishop.
Bass. It's called a bass amp.
Bass.
You're not recording. Are you streaming live?
It's always recording. Always.
Okay. Well, then I'm not going to say what I was going to say about you.
No, you can say whatever you want. We don't edit this shit. So. So whatever you say goes out into the ethos forever and ever.
Oh, man.
Yep. No pressure.
I spent a lot of time practicing not saying things that went out into the ether. So,
yeah, we don't give a fuck here.
No, good.
Yep. So what's up, guys?
What's going on? Mike stepped out. I think he had to take a leak, but right. We'll be ready to go here in a minute.
That's fine. How are you guys set up?
What do you mean with this?
Yeah.
He's got a USB plugged into a laptop, and he's got like a sound baffle thing around his camera/mic.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Some sort of, why does it sound okay?
Yeah, it sounds fine. Sounds fine.
Excelente.
Yeah.
We didn't expect you to be Johnny on the spot, man. We're
not. Oh yeah, no, I'm always on.
Nice. We just had rehearsal, so we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's and getting back at it. Just had a little working through some parts.
Nice.
Oh, thanks for joining us, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
I guess we'll allow bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, we're finally ready. Thanks to Mike for showing up.
No, no problem. Thank you very much, by the way. Yeah, of course. Of course. Really welcome to the fucking shit show.
Oh, well, I thought we were gonna welcome you to our shit show, but that's fine.
No, dude, we're all New Englanders. It's all one big shit show here.
That's it, man.
So yeah, welcome. Thanks for coming on. This is like a first, I think. This is the first, like, you know, excuse the verbiage here, but like the first like bar band turns, you know, trying to do something non-bar band I've ever had.
I guess we'll take that as a compliment, Jim.
I mean, I would. I don't just let anybody on this show anymore, guys. So
yeah, we're grateful to be here. Man. Yeah, man.
It's awesome how much you've built it up.
Yeah, you've done a lot of work. We're fans. We follow and share. We enjoy your podcast. We appreciate what you do for, you know, us musicians. Look, I know we're probably the oldest group too, but you know, we were young and spry in our hearts, and we love to play. We loved all the things you did at Country Jam, and we loved you, you know, pumping up all the bands there, and you know, it motivated us to try to get in the studio mindset. So we like Mike probably let on, and then whatever communications we got, you know, 5 songs coming out, but we probably have a dozen more coming here in the next who knows, that we're all dabbling and trying to write stuff, having fun with that. Rick and I formed the band what, about 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago,
right before COVID.
Yeah, before COVID. Yeah, so nice. You know,
so you started right at the right time.
Yeah, man, it was, you know, when we played Country Jam, people were like surprised, like at how tight we were. We're like, well, what have you guys been doing? We've been playing.
Right.
Shit, we want to play.
Yeah, we got COVID a couple times.
Yeah, we should call ourselves COVID South or whatever.
Right. So speaking of the name, and I, you know, you guys were just on, you know, Cruiser's Local Catch or whatever the hell she calls it up here. And, you know, for people that are outside of, you know, the Boston market, you know, that's kind of a big deal for local artists.
Yeah, man.
So how did that come about? Did you reach out to her? Did she reach out to you?
Yep, we reached out. You know, we're waiting for the EP to come out. So I said, now's a good time to try to promote. So I just reached out with an email, told her the deal. She said, great. How about in a couple days? So we turned a bunch of promotional stuff around in about 48 hours. And she said, great. And then it was just a matter of waiting. We were very, very fortunate
because I think there was someone else lined up, and you know, we just happened to get lucky, right?
Yeah.
And she happened to like what we sent her, so it's been great. It's awesome. It's a trip hearing yourself on the radio.
Yeah, it's weird. She's been super supportive.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. You know, obviously, I can't imagine what it would be like to be on the radio, but yeah, it's got to be a hell of a thing.
Absolutely.
So, all right, I gotta ask, and I probably asked you when I saw you at Country Jam, but I was pretty hammered that day. So how does the name Trigger South come to be?
Yeah, I wish it was some really cool story, but it was just actually, I guess I could back it up. I was in a band. If you look them up, they're in Virginia. They're called Nashville Knights. They're actually coming to Boston sometime in November. We're supposed to open for them. They're a 90s tribute band. When I was with them, they were, you know, kind of a similar band to who we are right now. And when we were looking for a name, we were rebranding from a band called Murphy's Law. And we were kicking around names, you know, I was living down in the South, and I'm like, yeah, we really get to pull the trigger on a name. And I'm like, oh, wait, Trigger South. At first it was just Trigger. And I'm like, you know, I don't know that, you know, that really says anything about us. And then Trigger South, kind of, especially living up here, you know, it's like aiming South, aiming towards that country vibe, that country feel. So it just kind of, to be honest with you, just one of those things where I've had the name in the back of my head for a while, and it ended up working out.
That's awesome. Sounded cool.
Yeah, it sounded cool.
yeah. I mean, and it does, you know, and it's not the kind of typical, you know, again, I say bar band, and please forgive me. It's just, you know, it's just habit.
That's cool.
You know, it's not, you know, you expect a band like what you guys have done previous to the EP coming out, you know, to have like a cheesy name, you know, like, because that's typically what it is. Like, there's no, you know, it's a bunch of, you know, dads that play on Friday and Saturday nights, and that's it.
I call them Eric Clapton dads.
What's that?
The Eric Clapton dads, right? Like, right. I love Eric Clapton. But every fella, you know, like, you know, just wait for AARP, like they're the next Clapton,
right?
And I can't play as well as any of those guys. I just find it funny. It's sort of a trope.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is. You know, and it's always, you know, it's always like cliche, and it's always just, it's like a, you know. It's usually stupid, you know, and, but you guys, you know, excuse me, from the get-go, you know, had the sense to give yourself a name that, you know, would transcend outside of a particular area.
Yeah. I mean, Rick, you know, when, so Rick and I formed the band in, you know, like I said, a few years ago, and the name was the easy part. You know, I think.
Well, you had it in the back. You always had it in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I mean, but how many names did we throw against the wall? Probably, you know, a couple dozen anyway. And then we went to Rick and I were looking for the funniest story about the band is we went to look for a drummer. We went on Craigslist, and we were looking for a drummer, putting out an ad for a drummer. And dude answers. He's like, "Yeah, I don't drum, but I play guitar and I sing." His name is Dan Julius. He's with a band called Kid Hurricane now, but original founding member, me, him, and Rick. And I, you know, it was just funny because we're like, yeah, you know, all right, fine, whatever, come on in. And you know, and then we found a drummer, and then Mike came to help us with sound. Mike's a, you know, sound engineer by trade, and you know, he's like, you know, it'd be good if you kind of started to give some pointers. And I knew he could sing. He's my brother-in-law. Rick and I are family, and Mike's my brother-in-law. He's family, so. Just made sense to keep him, you know, keep him around, and he's been a major contributor. But you know, Rick and I kind of, I don't know how it started out as a Partridge Family type of thing.
Yeah, we were actually in a band a while ago. Me and Ed, a classic rock thing that we did, and Ed's last name is Morse, so the name of the band was Morse Code.
Yeah, that had my wife and me and Mike. Like, it was like a whole to do, and then. JC's with us. We brought him. He's been playing what, about 4 or 5 years now you've been playing?
Four, 45 years.
45 years. How long you been tickling it with high breeze?
Oh man, forever. It feels like it's 100 years.
And we let a Rhode Islander break into the crew, and I know that hits home with a lot of your audience.
Hey, there's something to be said with those Rhode Islanders. You know, there's a lot of good music coming out of Rhode Island right now, which not enough people know about.
Yeah, Rhode Island's a hidden gem in New England. I work at SC Shires as a big, huge boutique trombone and trumpet factory. And you should hear that. I mean, it's such a blessing to work there and hear those dudes play, man. The folks that play there are just unbelievable. Steve Smith and the Nakeds, Brass Effect. Yeah, they cover for Brass Tech. All these guys, I mean, they could play with anybody. Some of those guys play in the New Bedford Symphony, and you know, I have a gentleman that works for me who does the Boston Pops. I mean, some of these guys are so talented, so it's cool. And all of them live in Rhode Island, and I'm like, whoa, it's like a trove of people down there that know how to play amazing music. So it's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, there's nothing else to do.
Good food, though, right? That's what I hear.
As long as they're not from like northern Rhode Island, like where I, you know, in the area that I'm in, because that's where it gets a little sketch. But, you know, I kid Rhode Island because, you know, growing up where I am, you know, everything we ever did was in Rhode Island, you know, because it was easier. You know, went to the beach, it was Rhode Island, it went, you know, whatever it was. Yeah. So where are you guys, where would you say headquarters for Trigger South is? Like if somebody were to come up to you and be like, where are you guys from? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say that we're, most of us live in Sutton. So three of us live in Sutton out of the five. And JC is like a Rhode Islander, you know, but you know, we give him a pass on that, but yeah, we would say Sutton. But we've all kind of like Mike's originally from South Boston. Rick's actually the only one from Sutton, and I kind of lived out in Western Mass. So we settled here kind of interestingly. It's a story for another, maybe a song for another time, how we all ended up here. But
Worcester based band.
Yeah, Worcester based pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike's from South Boston with that accent, you don't say.
It's weird. You don't expect a kid who grew up in the projects of Southie. Went to high school in Roxbury to do country music, but it's cool,
right?
People love to hear it. It's like the new rock and roll, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And, well, like, and you know,
oh, sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, well, you know, you the way you talk and then the way you sing, it's just like, what the fuck just happened? You know, it's kind of like night and day.
Yeah, it's like when you hear a Brit and you know someone from England sing, you have no idea they're from England until they just talk.
Right.
Yeah, I sound like mush mouth when I'm not singing.
Right.
But.
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
So you grew up in Southie.
Yeah.
Like born and raised?
Yeah, born and raised. I moved to Dorchester in my early 20s. But yeah, born and raised South Boston, the Oak Colony Housing Projects, and then Andrew Square. And then, you know, you work early, right? Like my mother came in the house when I was like 12. She's like, hey, we're poor. Get a job if you want anything. So I've been working since I've been 12 years old, and I was just trying to move out, you know, pretty early, you know, maybe like 19, which is early nowadays, but back right. then it was normal. But yeah, just you just hustle on your own, right? Like just yep. get at it, go do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's My wife grew up in Boston, so I get it. Yeah.
What part?
Yeah. She's from Hyde Park originally.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, she, what's that?
Is she Polish?
No, she is almost as Irish as you can make them.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yep. And she's got the attitude to go with it.
Yeah. They're my bro.
yeah. So when you guys are starting to form, you know, yourselves, how was country music the goal, or was it just whatever could be played and sounded all right?
Well, when me and Ed first talked about it, we were noticing that there really was, that's where the market was going, was country music. And with Ed being in our band down south doing country, I was really not a country music fan. There was some, I mean, I like Garth Brooks and so forth. But when I went down to see Ed's band, I was like, this stuff is pretty cool. So when me and Ed started forming a band, we're like, let's go country. That's where the market is going. That's where I think we're going to get a lot of gigs. And a lot of the new country stuff is pretty good. So that's the direction that we decided to go in. We just made a list of popular songs at the time and said, let's start with these and see where it takes us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, all of us have kind of a different background. Rick and I really do the rock thing. Mike really kind of came from R&B and soul. And Jace, you've been playing country since what, the 70s. The dawn of time?
country was a real country in the 90s.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true. It hasn't been, I mean, let's be fair. The radio hasn't been real country since the 90s.
Yeah, for a while. Yeah.
We have fun. We like all of it. You know what I mean? We appreciate, I mean, someone like, you know, like, me, like, I have so much appreciation for people like Tim Pierce and Brent Mason and Steve Lukather. Steve Lukather is my idol, guitar idol. But these guys played on so many sessions, some, you know, pop and rock. But like, how long has Brent Mason been making hits for country players down there? Forever. You know, you start getting into, you see some of these session players down in Nashville, and some of the, you walk into a random bar in Nashville, you'll hear some of the best musicians you've ever seen in your life. And it's like, just so inspiring to like, see how good these folks are and how much they dedicate. And you know, there's a handful of folks that make ton of the music. And I think we just want a little bite of that pie, like just enjoy that kind of stuff. And I think music is expression. And you know, that's what we get an opportunity for a couple hours a night. You know, a few weeks a month to really get to do that, man. And I mean, we're all lifelong learners and lifelong musicians, and we have a hell of a time doing it. And you know, we don't, you know, you ask our fans, they would tell you the same thing. We pour ourselves into this project.
Yeah, I mean, it shows. You know, when I saw you guys live, you know, I mean, it's been a few years now, but it's like you could tell how sound you guys were together. You know, how, you know, it made sense. You know, there was, hopefully the other people that were there that day don't listen to this, but you know, like out of everybody that played that day, you guys, I thought, really stood out.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate that.
Jim, one thing I want to say, and this is kind of towards these guys too, that I you know, we're friends. I mean, we're family, but these guys are also my best friends. I mean, we go, you know, we hang out together, we do stuff together, our families get together. We really kind of like do a little bit of country. Well, we get together, we jam, we drink, we eat, we celebrate, we mourn together. You know, we're part of each other's lives, and I think that probably we get a lot of the chemistry from is how close we are.
Yeah, typically during the summer, once the weather's good, I mean, it's like, hey, make sure you show up early for rehearsal because, you know, the burgers and dogs are on the grill and the beer's cold. And, oh, yeah, we might play some music too, yeah. You know?
And even the neighbors come over and we have a good old time.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's a blast.
And you guys practice on what, Thursday nights, you said?
Jim, you're always welcome. Yeah, typically Thursday The beer's cold. I got my own beer fridge right next to me while I'm playing. And sometimes I bump JC and tell him to hand me a beer out of the fridge, and he obliges.
I mean, I'm not, I probably shouldn't say this because my dad likes to listen to these episodes, but I've gotten really good at, you know, driving down 146, you know, with, you know, knowing that road right. Without having to know it.
Yeah, we're not too far, man. It's not too far with John.
So when you guys are, you know, doing your thing and getting this EP ready to go, how was it decided the songs you were going to put on it, and how did you decide that, you know, this is what you were going to do, and this is what you were going to call it, and this is, you know, everything that has led up to it?
So, I used to write songs. Back in the day in Boston, I would be in like punk and hardcore metal bands. And I would write the music, but never the words. But I always write like songs, even if they don't have words. It's just something I do. I record it. Hey, that sounds cool, right? I watched a fellow named Ralph Murphy, who was a Nashville songwriter. And he is fantastic because he's like super all about the business, right? He's like, you know, it's fantastic that, you know, you're a troubled, tortured soul, but soccer moms don't want to listen to you at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? So
right.
That kind of inspired me. That cynicism, believe it or not, inspired me to say, hey, you know, I don't need to have these words be like this super duper emotional thing that has to be authentic and genuine to me. I can just tell someone else's story, right? Mm. So my wife, one of the songs is called Without You. My wife, since we've been married, I've been married almost 20 years. She's like, when are you going to write me a song? So I started writing that for her, and she goes, oh, that's not good for me. That's good. She said, because that's good for the people that show up at your shows. And I said, you don't mind if I take this thing I made for you and, you know, make it for folks at shows? She's like, no, it sounds better that way anyways. So that's one of them. We have a slower one. Come Over a Little Closer. 2 years ago, we're playing a show in Fitchburg. And we just finish up. This fella comes up. He's like, hey, guys, play one more song for me and this girl that I've loved my whole life. I'm never going to see her again. Like, this is the last time I'm going to see her. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea for a song, right? And so I started writing it. And then a couple weeks later, Ed and Rick's uncle, my uncle by marriage, he passed away from COVID, unfortunately. And he was a really helpful guy in all our lives. He helped me out when I needed stuff. And his wife put on Facebook, you are the best part of my life. And it was just a really strong sentence. And so I decided to merge the two ideas, right? You're dancing with someone. You think it's love at first sight. You don't know if you're ever going to see him again. And the song sort of tells the story of, it's the last time this fellow thinks he's going to see this girl. It isn't. They end up getting married. They raise kids. And eventually, it's like she's singing a hymn on the deathbed, right? Because he's passing away. You know, so there's that one.
And then, Rick, you came up with the name for the EP, right? Was it you?
No, actually, Melissa said it, and I said, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah. We try to throw stuff out there to the group and not make a lot of individual decisions on stuff. So, you know, my sister is hugely involved. She's basically the social media person for us, and she does
keeps
a lot of
the calendar, keeps our schedule,
does a lot of the booking, does merch and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, we're grateful for her. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this because she's my sister and I only usually talk poorly about her. So I hope she doesn't. Jim, that's the only person I hope doesn't listen to this is my sister because we're giving her 5 minutes praise. Typically the band comes together, whether it's songs. Rick is always the one. Here's the thing about Rick. He's always got his ear to the radio and trying to find new covers, new ideas. You know, he there's a song. I won't give it away just in case we do it, but the song on the radio that's got, you know, it kind of samples an older song. And he's like, oh, we should put this together and sample, you know, and merge these two. And And, you know, actually him and JC both, you know, well, why don't we stop Shark there and, you know, start a, you know, on the one with a new song, or, you know, let's all, oh, let's merge this together and make a mashup. And I mean, that's kind of the same idea with, like, you know, anything we're going to record moving forward. You know, I think I speak for everybody, is like, the one thing I got from this is it's really not as easy as you would think it is. Even to talk in time is difficult. Like, we have, if you, once an EP comes out, we get a song called Dad Jokes. And even, am I wrong? Even the talking is difficult.
Yeah, you got to talk.
Like, the timing is odd. It's weird to, you know, to do the, like,
the timing of the jokes to the beat.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So it was a learning, if nothing else. It was, I know JC's over there quiet because he does this shit all the time, but the rest of us knuckleheads are trying to figure out where the hell the one is so we can tell the joke on time. We had fun, man. I mean, look, I think the, you know, the MO, what's important to us is, like I said to Rick at the beginning, like, this has got to be fun or I don't want to do it. And it's been fun. It's been fun from day one. And I think we all share that. Like, let's make it fun. Let's get, you know, let's have fun. If we're playing at a bar to two people, or you know, we've played shows where it's raining, it's outside, it's a deluge of rain, and the bar staff is 100 yards away, and we're playing under this tent, and they're loving it.
How about cold? When it was cold.
Hey everyone, as always, I wanted to just tell you about our friends over at The Bar Book. The Bar Book is a mobile app designed to eliminate the guesswork when looking for a great drink and introduce users to new brands that have the flavors they love, regardless of price or name recognition. How badass is that, guys? In the same way music sharing apps introduce you to new songs, The Bar Book will give you personalized drink recommendations based on the flavors you love. That's freaking cool. The Bar Book is a veteran-owned brand founded by two U.S. Army veterans, Mike and Dolly, and they have a lot going on with this cool new app, guys. Check it out. We had Mike on the show not too long ago. You can check them out at thebarbook.co. You can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all at The Bar Book. Rate your favorite beer, spirits, cocktails, and discover new ones that match your flavor profile, all on The Bar Book. Go download it. Love having these guys as friends. Check it out. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Yeah, we're at a private party, and they're doing their best to keep us warm. That was in October, late October, yeah, early November. And we're outside freezing our asses off, and someone's trying to come up and say, hey, you know, I got a request, and Mike's trying to lean in and hear it. And all of a sudden, you look over and Mike's pants are on fire. He's in the middle of a set trying to get himself off of being on fire. And we're like,
holy shit. Keep
laughing. Like, yeah, it's hilarious.
That's how was awesome.
That was a pretty hot evening.
Oh, it was toasty.
You were on fire. Okay. On fire that
night. So in your repertoire of songs, how many songs do you guys, you know, have or know right out of the gate that you could play?
Probably about 40.
Yeah, 40. Yeah, 40 to 50.
And not including
fill-ins and,
yeah, like, yeah, everyone knows some of the classic rock tunes, and hey, do you know this one? Hey, do you know that one? And I mean, those unrehearsed songs.
Yeah. More than one time at a gig, they said, hey, do you guys know this one? No, but we'll try it.
Yeah.
And we pulled it out of our ass, literally.
Yeah. We've had a couple iterations of the band too. So, you know, Dan, our buddy Dan left, and JC's been with us for a few months now. So together, like, he's right, between 40 and 45 that we have pretty tight, like probably 60 that we can play, you know, without really sounding like a dumpster fire. And, you know, with Dan and with our, you know, our last drummer, we probably knew 80 songs together. So,
damn.
Yeah.
Damn. So when you guys are putting on shows, are you, you know, when you're, you know, I'm going to pick on the Valley Pub here for a minute because it's just, you know, I know Steph really well and all that. But like when you when you're booked at a place, do you sit down and say, okay, these are the songs we're gonna play tonight, or do you just kind of start and go with however the crowd feels?
Half and half, right? So I'm sort of like nerdy about it, right? I have something called an energy curve where I have songs and I have ratings and I look at the tempos and I try to craft the night, right? Like put together a set list that crafts a night. But if the crowd, you know, we drop and add stuff all the time. It really depends on the crowd. So to directly answer you, we got a template and then we just know there's audibles we can call.
Right.
Right. What you find, right, is you got folks that like, hey, you guys should play this song and you should learn this song. But there's car songs and there's club songs. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Song is really cool in a club. And we've done this. You learn it for somebody. You play it for like 30 seconds, let's say in a 3.5 minute song. And after 30 seconds, one guy in the audience is like, oh, that's cool. Thanks. He goes to have a smoke. And then everyone's bored, right? Because it's a car song. It's a good song, but people want to keep moving.
Right.
So we try to be really conscious of the crowd. The humbling thing, right, is we see the same folks show after show. And to me, I'm baffled that, like, sometimes you got to get a babysitter. Maybe you worked all week. Maybe you're working in the yard earlier in the day. To me, I'm very grateful, and it's incredibly humbling that someone says, you know what a good idea for Friday night is? Let's go see those guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for me, I want to serve those people that are coming out and taking time out of their life and spending money and getting things ready. They deserve a good night out, right? So that's the goal, just to serve.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love that you said that, because you're absolutely right. You know, especially with the way things are right now. You know, it's hard sometimes to, you know, to choose what you do, you know, and to choose to go see a band that you like or whatever. Like, that's a huge commitment for some people.
Yeah, I mean, things are so cheap now, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we had a gentleman. He lives up in the Fitchburg area. Head all the way for his birthday. Drive all the way down, Joe. If you're listening, we're talking about you. Drive all the way down to Putnam, Connecticut, on his birthday to party with us. You know, and it was he brought some of his buddies, and you know, had a blast with us, man. He's one of our biggest fans, and you know, hell, we're a bigger fan of him. We love when he comes out. We love when all of our fans come out, and it's always funny. Mike's really, I'm gonna put him on blast here. Rick and I are like, oh, we did their wedding. Oh, we did that show. We did that background. Oh, we saw them at Wachusett. Oh, they were at that one gig. And Mike's like, I recognize the face, but I don't know who they are. Poor Mike. And they come up like, hey, Mike, what's going on? And Mike's like, hi, Ed, help me.
Yeah, not to mention I'm pretty awkward, right?
Yeah, he's
it is the deal. I'm usually wrapping cables up at the end of the night, right? So I'm not the biggest schmoozer, but it's, again, it's an honor. Frankly, right? Someone takes out their Friday night, their Saturday night. Like, who am I, right? Who are we? We're a bunch of schmucks, right? So it's just awesome, right, to see someone make that choice. Yeah. And, you know, that goes to that song with, you said, oh, why do we have an EP or whatever? That song, Without You, is to express that,
yeah,
right? Like, without these folks showing up, I'm doing dishes on Saturday night, right? Or I'm doing something else. I'm fixing something. Not that I don't want to keep my house in order, but it's a lot more fun to play guitar and sing than to do that.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you guys are recording this EP, one, how long did it take you? And why? What is the significance of, you know, I mean, because, I mean, I have it. So what is the significance of the release date, or if there is or isn't?
So it took about a year, because we all work 40 plus hours a week, and it's tough to get things together. So it just took a long time to record things, and it's all self-produced. So, like, you do a mix, you listen to it in the car, you're like, oh, that sort of sounds bad. So a lot of trial and error. The reason the May third is picked is because in preparation for releasing it, I just try to, I guess, pick the middle ground of what we're able to do social media wise.
Okay.
Right? Like I said, we work 40 hours a week. We don't really have the bandwidth to run this huge campaign, but we want to give at least 4+ weeks on this. So all of this went to the distributors, 4+ weeks ago. And, we're promoting as best we can. And we've gotten very fortunate from folks like you and folks like Carolyn Cruz that have said yes.
Yeah, we're grateful for that.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw it posted, I was psyched. I was like, I love when I can see or hear original music from, local bands, especially that I like.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wish I could come out and see you guys more often, but kids and shit.
Oh yeah. Life. Right. No, I think that's it, man. And that's, again, I think that goes back to what Mike said. It's like when you see someone come out to your show on Saturday and then you got one on Sunday at another place and they stop what they're doing and come out there and then the following week you're at another place and they're there again. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the support. And, I think, Rick, I'm going to pick on Mike here, but Rick and I really make it a point. Like, Rick is really good with the staff and the people that are there. He goes out of his way to make, make an effort to touch base with those folks and to glad hand people in the crowd. And I do the same thing, always trying to accommodate, requests or conversations and I mean, Mike's right about without you. Like, there's no reason to do it if people don't want to hear it. If we were terrible and no one wanted to listen to us, we probably would go back to our rock roots or something like that. We'd find something else to do. We'd go fishing.
Right.
Dying to go fishing. That's what we'd be doing. Right, Rick?
I do both.
So, no, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I'm very, very curious because it sounds like outside of the band, everybody has lives, everybody's busy, the whole nine yards, right? And I know you guys do play a lot, out. How has that been? I mean, granted, you're all family and are related or married in or whatnot, but like how has this affected, home life, I guess you could say. And again, you could tell me to go fuck myself, but
no,
I'm curious because
answer it because Jim, I'll answer it because not aging anybody here, but Mike and JC, I'm sorry, Rick and JC, their kids are grown, they're out of the house. It's not an impact. They're at that stage in their life. Yeah. Mike and I have school age kids, but. My sister is, again, she's the person behind the scenes that we could never give her enough credit, but like, that's my babysitter. That's my, when we need to do these things, she doesn't even let me say no. I'm like, oh, I got the kids, my wife's working that day or blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, no, you're going to the gig. there's no. And she really advocates for us. And,
yeah, the underlying tone is sacrifice. Someone has to make a sacrifice for it to work, and it's right. My wife who makes the sacrifice, right? His sister. And I think that comes again from love of family. Their old man, like my old man, he played, right? And it's this young boy, this young girl seeing their dad play with their uncles, and I think she treasures seeing that in her brother. And, in her nephews, right? And in her husband.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
So she gives a lot for us, and we can't be grateful enough.
Yeah, Rick, you played with my dad since the friggin' 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing a long time, but I want to give a shout out to my wife. My wife knows I need this in my life, and she's supportive. And I mean, to a degree where we'll sit there and we'll be like, all right, let's plan our vacation. And she'll look at me and say, well, let's make sure you don't have any gigs that weekend. And we actually do our planning and so forth. And, you know, my stepdaughter, who Ed's married to, is very supportive of him.
Absolutely.
JC's significant other comes to every single gig.
Every gig.
Every gig helps him load and unload. And, you know, it's just really good. So when you say, how does this affect our family? It's like, our family, this isn't just our band, it's our family's band.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, your sister, his sister comes almost every gig. Your niece comes almost every gig.
Yeah, my sister, my niece,
she knows. But
your nephews, Marky and them, yeah. I mean, we really do, like, there's a core group of family folks who, I mean, they drop what they're doing for us and whatever that means. And even some of our lifelong friends, they'll watch the kids when my wife wants to come out. So it is like a partridge family. Everyone's in, man. Everyone enjoys it. We're making new friends like JC and then, you know, our drummer and our old drummers and all our old play. Like, we're all friends still. Like, it's not, there are no hard feelings. It's, you know, it's such a blessing. I've been in so many bands where you don't like the people you're in the band with. And you're like, you know, I screw it. I'm not going to do this. We don't have that problem here, and
that's good.
I think that comes through in the music.
Yeah, you know, and it's even coming out in, you know, this conversation, because it's like, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to bands, and it's like, you know, well, one person's going to talk, and everybody else is going to be in the background and just like pop in every now and again. You know, you guys have all kind of like, you know, you guys have a mutual respect for each other, and it shows.
Yeah, that's the one thing I think, like, unrehearsed, we don't know how to do this. So we're trying to point around the room like, all right, JC, take it. You know? But we have that rapport with each other. You know, we put each other, we trust each other to speak for the band and speak for each other. And
yeah.
And to be honest, I mean, just like people, communication, we have arguments, we have issues.
Shut up, Rick.
We just love each other and get through it.
Oh, there, down he goes. Down he goes.
Rick just punched JC.
I feel my ass. Yeah.
Nice.
We love each other. We sit there. We scream at it, and we're like, okay, let's go back to rehearsal.
Yeah, some level of like, yeah, I don't know if it's a level of maturity where you just understand it's not personal. You know, the band stuff is not personal. We like each other as people. You know, if Mike's late coming in, we stop and we're at a rehearsal and we stop and, all right, Mike, it's, you know, the ones, it's weird. It's a, you know, a measure of 5/4 there. You gotta, you know, it's an extra beat and whatever. You know, if we don't get mad at Mike the person. You know, we have a momentary lapse where we're like, look, you know, you're screwing this up.
And I stop fucking up.
Yeah, stop fucking up, Mike.
Yeah. Well, being creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want us to do something worthwhile, someone's going to get a couple bruises.
Right.
But you got to be about it.
Everybody's, I think. Right? Yeah. Like, the other thing is leaving your ego at the door, man. Like, all of us, I would like to say pretty confidently, like, we all are humble, even self-deprecating at times. You know, we pick on ourselves. But we do it because we want the ego to be the last thing. And, you know, we'd rather make this music and have fun and enjoy each other. And, you know, like, it's not about, you know, oh, where's my guitar solo in that song? Like, you know, if there's no guitar solo and the song's great, then there's no guitar solo. That's fine.
We don't need a guitar solo in that song.
What? Of course we do.
Well, you know, I love what you guys are doing. You know, I think it's great. It really is, you know, and I love being able to hear this, you know, this story, you know, because it makes it that much more enjoyable, you know, for somebody like me, for sure, you know, and if nobody else likes it, fuck them, I don't care.
thanks, you know,
I mean, I, You know, well, I mean, I got to be doing something, right? I mean, I wouldn't be doing this going on year three if.
It's super impressive, man. Yeah. I remember seeing you back then. You got this podcast, and man, you know how many podcasts there are that fizzle out. You. I'm impressed. You did real good. You're grinding, man.
Thanks. Yeah, I. You know, it's cost me a lot, I'll tell you that. And I'm not even talking monetarily.
Right.
But you know, it is what it is. You know, it's
but you know what, man? The fact that you love it, it comes out, you know, you're a big supporter of people, man. It meant a lot to us, not only to obviously for this podcast, but I don't know if you can remember, you threw our shirt on to introduce us, and that meant a lot to us, man.
I did.
Yeah.
And you know what? That shirt somehow has shrunken since then. It's the weirdest thing. Oh,
it's definitely the shirt. It's the fabric. It's not you, Jim.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I was like, oh, I'm so sad the other day when I tried to go put it on. I was like, wow, fat guy in a little coat.
I keep having the same problem in my wardrobe, I swear. Yeah. It's a watcher.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, I have a shirt on right now from one of the one of our new kind of quote unquote partners, sponsors, whatever. And you know, I this one is definitely the fabric because it's shrunken a little, but
Jim, I'll send you one.
Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. Well, guys, all right, before we go. First of all, again, thank you so much for the time. I could talk to you guys all night, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm getting fucking tired. and I mean, you guys are much older than me, so you must be really tired.
Hey.
So, you know, we kind of have a tradition here, I guess. I mean, I know you guys have listened to every, you know, all 235 episodes or whatever we're at.
Only up to 234, so
yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you got to catch up. But we got to talk about boots, and we got to talk about whiskey, obviously. So, if you have a boot brand of choice and a whiskey of choice, I want to hear about it.
Okay. Well, I'll let someone else. You want to talk about boots?
So, I just came back from Nashville about 4 months ago, and I don't know if you've ever been down there, but there's a place called the Boot Barn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I bought 4 pairs of boots. I got Python, I got Alligator, I got, I don't know, there's 4 different ones. But probably the best type of boots you can ever wear.
What do you do for work? Because if you're buying 4 pairs of boots like that, I need a job, man.
Dude, I retired 10 years ago.
Oh, well, fuck, Jesus.
All he's saying is he's old. He's not saying that he has any money. He just blows it on dumb shit. Yeah,
But yeah, no, I had a great time down there. I met a lot of friends of mine. In fact, I'm going back down in about 2 months. I'm going back down to do some recording with a friend of mine. And we got some session stuff we're doing. But I've spent 3.5-4 years in Nashville at one time in my life.
Nice.
Yeah. Grew up on this shit. I was 11 years old in my first band, my parents' band. 11 years old.
We've actually witnessed that. I didn't know they had you know, that was pre-college film. I'm just kidding. We give them more shit than you ever could. So, whiskey, I'm down for a single malt scotch. These fellas don't really drink a lot, which is a little odd. But I think my first, like, single malt scotch that I was like, wait a minute, was the Johnny Walker Blue Label. I was like,
I'm actually looking at a bottle of that right now.
Jim, that's weird because we could have definitely done this at your house instead. That would have worked fine. I would have had a ride home and everything. A whiskey of choice?
A collection of Jack Daniels at home. I was going to say Jack Daniels and Diet Coke. If I was going to drink whiskey, I don't do it often. And then Timberlands for boots, man, work boots.
Yeah. I mean, I've been buying the same style shoe from Walmart for the past 15 years. So.
Attaboy.
I, you know, probably a working gear boot, right? And then my drink of choice is actually a Polish vodka, but I think I've had a Johnny Walker.
Yeah, you had a Blue Label. And you had the Glenlivet single malt shoe.
I'm an AV guy, right? So I've done these shows for these different companies. I know at one point I was given whiskey from a barrel as part of an event, and that was pretty good. But I forget the company I was working for.
Oh God, I would stroke out if somebody did that to me.
Right. For me, Boots. I actually have an old set of Navy issued flight deck firefighting boots, where they're insulated, you know, fireproof or whatever. And it's not that it's you know, the functionality of them. They're heavy and they're terrible to wear. It's just more of a nostalgic thing. Spent a lot of time in those boots. So
nice. Nice. Awesome, guys. Well, you know, again, thanks so much for taking the time. You know, I know it's late on a Thursday for us. Well, for me.
Thank you, Jim.
So I appreciate your time so much. I can't even tell you how much I appreciate it. I really do.
Appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anytime. Man. Anytime. And hopefully one of these Saturday nights where I don't have the children, I can figure out a way to get to a gig and you know, do it up.
Hell yeah.
Love to see you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would love to see you guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. So when I'm trying to think of what today is, and so the EP comes out on the 3rd.
A week from tomorrow.
Oh shit. All right. This one's gonna come out the week after. That's okay.
That's cool.
We're just grateful that you gave us the opportunity.
Oh, anytime. Anytime. It's my pleasure.
Awesome, man.
All right, guys. I'm gonna retire now.
All right. Appreciate what you're doing for the country folks trying to make it, man. And you know, we're a bunch of old dads here just trying to have fun. We appreciate time and appreciate your audience for plugging in and listening. And we're looking forward to playing for you guys. If anyone could come out, we'd love to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much again, and we'll chat soon. And you know, by the time this comes out, the EP is out, so yeah. go listen to it. Is it going to be on everywhere? Spotify, Apple, the whole nine yards?
Yep, the whole nine yards.
Awesome. And
it's called Game On from Trigger South. So
I'm making a bunch of cassettes, and a guy I know is going to start selling them out of trunks too.
So be on the lookout. You can get some tracks too while you're at it.
No shit, though. We were looking at vinyl, man. It's just so expensive. You gotta order like a thousand or something like that to get them done. And we're like, yeah, we'll see how it hits first.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have a vinyl of it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, vinyl is so expensive.
Oh, yeah, man.
Fucking oil prices. Anyway. All right, guys. All right, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See ya.
Later.
Yeah, this sounds like a hot shit.
Now we got to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of the Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England, with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com.
Well, there you have it, guys. Our conversation with Trigger South. Again, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Had an absolute pleasure talking to you and getting to know you guys a little bit better. If you are a local in this, you know, Central Mass area, New England, whatever, go see Trigger South. You won't be disappointed. These guys fucking incredible. And go check out their new EP, Game On. Again, great stuff. You know, and their stuff's just going to get better and better, guys. So get in on the ground flow and check them out. So like I said, it is Double Shot Tuesday. We have Jackson Blue on the other episode that was released today. Go check him out. Or go check that episode out. He's a DJ for Country 102.5 here in Boston, and great dude, just absolute down to earth, salt of the earth kind of dude. And
another great episode. You know, two great episodes one day. Jesus. So, you know, as you could tell here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next time, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Cheers, y'all. Enjoy your week. Don't forget, Jackson Blue. And we will see you next Tuesday. Good night.